Want to learn more about the Holy Spirit? You came to the right place. Make yourself comfortable. Get ready, because here we go. Hey, how are you? You know, here's something interesting. This is one of the benefits of having your own show and not having any set script. I asked the Holy Spirit, as I try to do, and you know the format, the general format. By the way, I'm Gary Zimak, in case you're a new listener, you're probably wondering, who is this crazy man? But I'm just sitting here, and it was really cool, because I just made this decision. Typically on Monday, I address what Catholics really believe. We read something from the Catechism. Tuesday is The Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis classic book. Wednesday, My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Payone. Friday, we do the Sunday Mass readings. But Thursday is a day, at least at the moment, where it's pretty much an open day, and I'm not really sure of the theme. So I said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what should I talk about? And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you talk about me? So I said, man, that's a good idea. The Holy Spirit can be so confusing to so many of us. We can understand the concept of our Heavenly Father. We can ask our Heavenly Father for our needs. We know He loves us. We can pray to our Heavenly Father. When we go to Mass, all of the prayers are directed to the Father. We can pray to Jesus. We don't have a problem with Him. We understand Jesus is our Lord. He's our Savior. We can follow Him. We read what He said in the Gospels. And again, we don't generally have a problem with Jesus. We can picture in our mind what He looks like. But the Holy Spirit is a whole nother story. I think one of the most confusing aspects of Christianity is understanding the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, as I've discovered, and I'll be honest, I am still really trying to understand and know the Holy Spirit. And what I'm learning is blowing me away. The Holy Spirit is he's our greatest friend. He's a great friend. I don't want to say our greatest friend, because then, well, He and Jesus, who's better? You know, we can get nutty like that. But the Holy Spirit is a great friend. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He lives within our soul. So He's close by. He's handy. He directs our actions if we let Him. He's the spouse of the Blessed Mother. I mean, you could say a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. So I figured what we should do today, since we need to understand the Holy Spirit, if we expect to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, if we expect to follow His will, we need to get in touch with the Holy Spirit so that He can direct us, so that He can direct us and help us to know what it is that we should do and give us the strength that we need to accomplish what it is that we should do. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to go to the Catechism, because the Catechism has some good information. We're going to go to the full Catechism today, not just the compendium where we look at questions and answers. So I might have to edit a little bit as we do this program, because you know the deal. If it gets too verbose, I'm going to lose you. But there are some really good points that I want to bring up so we can talk about the Holy Spirit. Why does the Holy Spirit matter? That's a question for all of us to consider. Why is the Holy Spirit important in our life? What do I really need the Holy Spirit for? I've got the Father. I've got Jesus. What's this Holy Spirit? Now you're going to tell me I have to pray to three people, right? That's what we think sometimes, but yet He is really important. So we'll chat about that. We'll look at the Mass readings for Thursday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. As you listen to this, I am either on my way or have arrived in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday, speaking at the IHM National Catholic Homeschool Conference. It's a really big deal. They have over 2,000 people generally attend these conferences. A lot of great speakers, and me too. I don't put myself in that category. There's a lot of great speakers, and I will be speaking. I'll be emceeing one of the days as well. So if you hear this and you want to swing on by, if you're in the area of Fredericksburg, Virginia, come on by. It's free admission. You don't have to be a homeschooler to attend. You can hang out with me. I'll have my merchandise there. I'll have my books, and I would love to meet you in person. So visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more details about the IHM National Homeschool Conference. It's taking place this weekend in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And by the way, if you live in Florida, I'm heading to Tampa, Florida, the first week in July. So within a couple of weeks, I'll be coming your way. If you're in Tampa, I'll be speaking at a parish. I'll be speaking at a local homeschool conference. I'll be appearing on Spirit FM Radio. All the details can be found at followingthetruth.com. So you might want to check that out if you get a chance and stop by and say, hey, the talks that I'm giving in Florida are free of charge as well. So lots of good stuff happening, and I have more speaking engagements that I'll be, I generally put them up 1 or 2 months in advance. So I think I have them up through August right now. But I just thought there's one that I have to add because I'll be speaking in the Boston area, actually in Framingham. So if you're in the Framingham area, I'll be headed your way in early August. So stay tuned for more details. Harder and harder to get away from me. I'll tell you what, you can hear me now not only on Blog Talk Radio, you can hear me not only on iTunes, on TuneIn Radio with this program. You can hear me on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. You can hear my regular segments on Relevant Radio, EWTN Radio, and other radio outlets across the United States. It's tough. It's tough to get away from me. I'm trying to really reach out to as many people as I can, and God's been so good, He's allowing me to do that. Beverage du jour today, another great cup of Mystic Monk coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. Check it out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Taste it and see what great coffee this really is. It's roasted by real monks, passionate for fine coffee. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to get yourself some Mystic Monk coffee. While you're there, check out my Amazon link. So if you purchase anything from Amazon.com and you use the link on my website, you help me to keep this show free of charge, and you help to keep my full-time apostolate going strong. So I thank you in advance for that. I thank you for your financial donations and your prayers as well. You are awesome. You know that? Well, if you don't, I'm going to tell you that right now. You're awesome, and I really appreciate you hanging out with me tonight on the show. All right, big thing. We're about to do something really big here. You ready to pray? We're going to turn to Almighty God right now. We're going to pray for our needs and for the needs of the entire world. This is big. So I hope you appreciate the fact that the Lord is here. The Lord is listening, the Lord cares, and the Lord can fix or handle any problem that you face or give you the grace to deal with it. That's a really important concept. We're not in this alone. If we had to be in this game of life alone, it wouldn't be good. We're not. He is with us. So please join me as we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. You have blessed us in so many ways. You have enabled us to live for another day. So therefore, you must have a plan for us. We ask you, Father, to reveal that plan to us. We ask you to help us to remain holy so that we may only do what you want us to do, that we may never sin, that we may never do anything wrong. And when we do, grant us the grace to be sorry and to seek your forgiveness through the sacrament of confession. Father, we ask you to bless all of the people around us, our families, ourselves. Help those who are sick. Help those who are lonely, who are anxious, who are struggling with doubt or despair. Help those who might be dealing with addiction. Help those who are struggling financially, those who may be struggling with religious persecution or with homelessness. Help those who are homebound, who are confined to their houses and can't leave. Help those who might feel unloved today. Help them to feel your love. Help us with our intentions, whatever they may be. You know what they are, Father. We give them to you now. We know that you care about us. We know that you love us unconditionally. Therefore, we know that anything that you allow to happen in our lives is good. So thank you so much for that, Father. We ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to put an end to abortion. We ask you to increase vocations. I ask you to speak through me, to send your Holy Spirit to come alive in me today, so that I may proclaim your message. I want to be able to step aside, Father, so I give this show to you. I ask you to send that Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to work through me today and to give me the words And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we do each day, we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. You were listening to the Gary Zimak Show. You guessed it. That's me, Gary Zimak. Great to be here with you. We do this program every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. The show is also available in iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well. Number of different ways you can listen to the show. We are now in our sixth year. Praise the Lord for that. I never thought this show would be continuing for so many years, but God is so good. Through His Holy Spirit, He's just inspiring me to keep going. I can't give this up. I just love it too much. And you are helping with your prayers and your financial contributions. That's the reason I'm still here. I can't do this on my own. And you are definitely helping out. So I want to thank you. If you like the show, you can thank yourself too, because you're the reason that it still exists. So please keep me in your prayers, and let's continue to go forward and see where this leads. Remember, total consecration to Jesus through Mary coming up in September, all new this year. It's going to be a compilation. I like to call it the Frankenstein monster of total consecration. I think I got to come up with a better description than that, don't you think? But this is what I'm doing. I'm taking the best of the best. I'm taking several different methods of preparing for total consecration and coming up with a compilation. This is going to be good. And I'm going to look at St. Louis de Montfort's original guidelines. He never came up with his own method for preparation. And I'm going to put everyone's together, the best of the best, and see what we come up with. And we'll let the Holy Spirit lead us. And I'm telling you, this is going to be good. I just have a feeling. I've learned to trust the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn to our Blessed Mother and ask her to lead me too, because I really want you to get closer to her. The trouble is, if you do the same total consecration preparation every year, what's going to happen is you're going to eventually get so used to it, it's not going to affect you. I want it to really knock your socks off. I really do, because I want this to be powerful. And I don't want to just go through motions. I don't want to just rattle off a bunch of words. I don't want to read from a book. I'll read from several books, but I want to embellish it too, because that's what I like to do. Otherwise, you don't need me. You can do it with the book. So hang in there. Early September, that's the plan. God willing, we'll get it started here. Stay tuned for more information. All right, let's look at these Mass readings now. The 12th week, Thursday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. First reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 24, verses 8 through 17. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Nehushta, daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, just as his forebears had done. At that time, the officials of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, attacked Jerusalem, and the city came under siege. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, himself arrived at the city while his servants were besieging it. Then Jehoiakim, king of Judah, together with his mother, his ministers, officers, and functionaries, surrendered to the king of Babylon, who in the 8th year of his reign took him captive. And he carried off all the treasures of the temple of the Lord and those of the palace, and broke up all the gold utensils that Solomon, king of Israel, had provided in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had foretold. He deported all Jerusalem, all the officers and men of the army, 10,000 in number, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None were left among the people of the land except the poor. He deported Jehoiakim to Babylon, and also led captive from Jerusalem to Babylon the king's mother and wives, his functionaries, and the chief men of the land. The king of Babylon also led captive to Babylon all 7,000 men of the army, and 1,000 craftsmen and smiths, all of them trained soldiers, in place of Jehoiakim. The king of Babylon appointed his uncle Mattaniah king, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Here we go with the fancy words. the tricky language, the confusing details again. But this is one of those messages. You see this message continually throughout the Old Testament. Well, why do I have to keep hearing the same message? Because it's a message that we still continue to need to hear today. The message is if you don't follow God's way, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to make your life difficult, not only here, but when you go to be judged. There are repercussions for disobeying God's commands. So it's very important for us to recognize that. Very important for us to recognize that and to do something about it. If we follow God's commands, if we follow the teachings of the church, if we follow the Lord's commands, we are going to get to heaven. It's very simple. The last recorded words of the Blessed Mother in Scripture are, "Do whatever he tells you." The reason she said that was because if we do that, we will end up in heaven. It's difficult because we have free will, we're stubborn, we are self-centered, we like to do it our way instead of God's way. We have so many reasons for getting why we get ourselves into trouble. But if we just simply learn to listen, we're going to make our life so much easier. And we're going to end up getting to heaven. So please keep that in mind. Take it very seriously. It's really something that you don't want to be caught short. Because you don't know when you're going to be judged. We've talked about that so many times on the program. You don't know when your time is up. Make sure you're ready. Psalm 79, "For the glory of your name, O Lord, deliver us." Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from all these temptations. Deliver us from ourselves. Because sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. Help me, Lord. I need your grace. I can't do it. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the corpses of your servants as food to the birds of heaven, the flesh of your faithful ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there is no one to bury them. We have become the reproach of our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Remember not against us the iniquities of the past. May your compassion quickly come to us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, our Savior, because of the glory of your name. Deliver us and pardon our sins for your name's sake. Man, I'll tell you what, we need to continually ask the Lord for the grace to fight against all of the evil around us, the temptations, because it's challenging, isn't it? And he's going to help us. He's going to help us. But whatever you do, continue to lean on him. Receive communion as often as possible. If you are able to go to daily Mass, I can't encourage it strongly enough. It's huge. We need help. We really need help to fight against the challenges of this life. The Gospel, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 29. This gospel starts off, and remember, these are the words of Jesus. This gospel starts off with a message that is as big of a slap in the head as we could possibly ever imagine, but it's one that you need to hear. We love the message, "Let not your heart be troubled." We love the message, "Be not afraid." We love the message, "I love you." You know, this is the message I want to hear from Jesus, but we need to hear more than that. We need to hear what he needs us to hear. Amen? We don't need to just hear what we want to hear, because he wants to speak to us. That's the beauty of the scripture. He's speaking to us. You ready? Make sure you're sitting down. Fasten your seatbelts, because Jesus is going to slap you around. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. And it collapsed and was completely ruined. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Now, I told you, it was not an easy gospel today. I want you to write this down. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 29. Matthew 7, 21 through 29. We just read it. I want you to spend some time. Look, I'm giving you homework. I'm only doing it because I care about you. Matthew 7, 21 through 29. I want you to spend a little time. Ask the Holy Spirit before you start. Say, come, Holy Spirit, help me to understand this. And then read it over. Meditate on it. Think about it. And then ask yourself, how can I put this into practice? From time to time, we all fall victim to going through the motions, don't we? Fall victim to going through the motions, lip service, praying, just saying the prayers without meaning them, claiming to be Christians, claiming to be believers, claiming to be followers of Christ, but yet we don't support that belief or that statement with our actions. It's time to start doing it, because otherwise Jesus has a harsh warning. I need to take this seriously. This hurt when I just read it. Believe me, I took notice. Because one day he's going to judge us. Here's what I told you. I told you if you were smart, you would listen to me, Gary. Why didn't you listen? And you know what? At that point, it's going to be too late. Because by the time you're judged, your time for doing good on earth, it's gone. Please take it seriously. The Lord isn't kidding. All right, now I want to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, because I think we don't understand the Holy Spirit. This might be a continuing series. I might decide to just go on with this. Let's see what we get done today. But because we need to understand the Holy Spirit. We really want to make sure that we understand the Holy Spirit and his power in our lives. So, if you have a catechism, this, we're going to begin in paragraph 683. If you don't have a catechism, try to get one, because it's a great document. You could Google Catechism of the Catholic Church if you want. You could Google Catechism of the Catholic Church 683. You'll find it online. That's the paragraph we start with. Let's talk about this. I'm going to read some things and we'll chat. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's from 1 Corinthians 12:3. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. So there are two Bible verses that support the importance of the Holy Spirit. You can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And God has sent, now think about this for a minute, this is mind-boggling. God has sent the Spirit of his Son, all right, into your heart. How incredible is that? Your heart, which so often does such a terrible job of loving the people around you. We can all, look, and that's not just you, it's me too. We could be so lukewarm. We could be so self-centered. But yet that love of God, which is expressed, the love of God, the love between the Father and the Son, is the Holy Spirit, which that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the love, the relationship between the Father and the Son. That Spirit is poured out into your heart. That's incredible. The knowledge of faith. This is really good stuff. I'm getting excited. The knowledge of faith is possible only in the Holy Spirit. To be in touch with Christ, we must first have been touched by the Holy Spirit. So the very fact that you have a relationship with Christ, which, you know me, I preach it all the time, the importance of a relationship with Christ, the only reason that would be possible, and the only reason it would be possible for you to understand your faith, the teachings of the church, is through the Holy Spirit. He comes to meet us and kindles faith in us. By virtue of our baptism, the first sacrament of the faith, the Holy Spirit in the church communicates to us intimately and personally the life that originates in the Father and is offered to us in the Son. Now, here is a really cool statement from St. Irenaeus. Baptism gives us the grace of new birth in God the Father, through His Son, in the Holy Spirit. For those who bear God's Spirit are led to the Word, that is, to the Son, and the Son presents them to the Father, and the Father confers incorruptibility on them. Isn't that neat? So because of the work of the Holy Spirit, which you receive for the first time in baptism, you're led to the Son, and the Son then presents you to the Father. So you've got this incredible chain of friends, starting with the Holy Spirit leading you to Jesus, Jesus to the Father, and you are in a relationship, in an intimate relationship with the Holy Trinity. You certainly want to know this, and it's really worth exploring. I mean, it's a lot of us know it in a vague way, but do we really think about it? And do we really pursue it? Do we really talk to the three persons of the Trinity and ask for help, knowing them, asking them to reveal themselves to us? Continuing with St. Irenaeus, he said, "It's impossible to see God's Son without the Spirit, and no one could approach the Father without the Son. For the knowledge of the Father is the Son, and the knowledge of God's Son is obtained through the Holy Spirit." That's an incredible statement. So your knowledge of Jesus, which will lead you to knowledge of God the Father, comes about through the Holy Spirit. Because He's invisible, we struggle. Because any image of the Holy Spirit is a difficult one to understand. We picture wind, we picture a dove, we picture fire. It's hard to have a relationship with them, but it's essential. See, isn't it good that we're talking about this? We're going to have to continue this. This is so good, because I only have a few minutes left, and I don't want to rush through this because it's so important. Through His grace, the Holy Spirit is the first to awaken faith in us and to communicate to us the new life, which is to know the Father and the one whom He sent, Jesus Christ. But the Spirit is the last of the persons of the Holy Trinity to be revealed. St. Gregory of Nazianzus, the theologian, explains this progression in terms of divine condescension. Wow, that's a big word. The Holy Spirit proclaimed the Father clearly. I'm sorry, the Old Testament proclaimed the Father clearly, but the Son more obscurely. So if you look at the Old Testament, we do see references to God the Father, but Jesus is, or the second person of the Trinity, is also explained there, the Son, but in less concrete terms. There are references to the second person of the Trinity, which is the Son, who would go on to become flesh and be known as Jesus. But you have to look really hard. The New Testament revealed the Son and gave us a glimpse of the divinity of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit dwells among us and grants us a clearer version of Himself. You see that? So the church, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is now more clearly able to understand the Holy Spirit. That's why some of these concepts evolve over time. It was not prudent, when the divinity of the Father had not yet been confessed, to proclaim the Son openly, and when the diversity of the Son was not yet admitted, to add the Holy Spirit as an extra burden, to speak somewhat daringly, by advancing and progressing from glory to glory, the light of the Trinity will shine in ever more brilliant rays. So that statement there was from St. Gregory of Nazianzus. Essentially what he's saying is Jesus is revealing the Father. If we look in the New Testament, we'll see numerous references where Christ is saying, "This is my Father, this is what my Father wants you to do," etc. If he threw the Holy Spirit in there and started explaining the Spirit, the people would get all confused. To believe in the Holy Spirit is to profess that the Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of the Trinity, consubstantial with the Father and the Son. For this reason, the divine mystery of the Holy Spirit was already treated in the context of Trinitarian theology. Here, however, we have to do with the Holy Spirit only in the divine economy. The Holy Spirit is at work with the Father and the Son from the beginning to the completion of the plan for our salvation. All right, I'm going to leave it there. We'll get back to this next week on Thursday, because I feel strongly that we've got to talk more about the Holy Spirit. Guess what? I'm out of time. Hope you enjoyed the show today. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.